And recording. Hello and welcome to episode 49 of the 8-Bit Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Armando Testani, and joining me this fine evening is Dee Marchioni. Say hello, Dee.
Hello, hello.
So how goes it?
Officially diagnosed with bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Yeah. So I'll try to be quick on the mute.
It's fun, bronchitis.
First time. No. Not a fan.
First time? Really? First time ever? I've had it multiple times.
Not I.
You're lucky. First time. Hopefully it doesn't last like the last time I had it. 6 weeks.
Oof. Well, how are you?
2-3 weeks I was okay. And then the last 3 weeks it was still the coughing and stuff, which sucked. Me? I'm fine. I feel good. Life is good. For the most part. No complaints. 49. Can you believe that? We're almost at a milestone.
Yeah, almost 1 year.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well,
for some reason, podcasts go by, like, just rounded numbers. So they're like, ooh, we're almost at 50. But for me, 52 would be a bigger thing.
Well, no, I mean, we've done over a year already.
I know, but just as a weekly podcast, 52 sounds more important to me.
We've done 3 mini episodes too, so we've already done 52 episodes, if you think about it. Anywho, why don't we get down to the nitty gritty, shall we?
Sure.
Why don't we do the usual? We'll just start with games. What have you been playing lately? Anything?
I've been playing some different stuff lately.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Hold on.
Oh, look at that. He's sneezing.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that. So, basically, because I was sick and I have this new PC laptop, I decided to start going through some of the games that I've just never gotten around to, one of which is StarCraft II. I have the first 2 episodes of StarCraft II. So I have the Terran and the Zerg.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing through, and I played probably 5 hours over the weekend.
Okay.
And
thoughts?
It's awesome. I actually thought at first that it felt like the game almost wasn't updated, like I was just playing the old game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back, I played a couple of minutes of the first StarCraft, and it's as if my mind has just updated what that used to be. Because that was horrendously bad looking. But everything controls flawlessly as expected for StarCraft. And I definitely suggest it to anybody who wants to pick up an RTS.
Yeah, that was a good game. I played it years ago. Maybe
the original one?
No, StarCraft II.
This is the StarCraft II is the one that came out last year.
No, StarCraft II came out years ago.
Years ago?
Years ago.
I thought the third piece just came out.
What do you mean? Well, there was an they've been, you know, like expansions, DLC for it, but StarCraft 2 came out at least 3 years ago. When did it come out? No, came out 10 years 6 years ago. Five and a half. July of 2010 it came out.
Yeah, it has been that long, hasn't it?
Yeah. And
I was thinking
back,
the
go ahead.
The third chapter just came out.
Yeah, the DLC. Yeah, and a while back, you know, when I first got my Mac, my iMac. My iMac, you know, my nice big 27-inch iMac. One of the first things I did was download StarCraft II. And they had, like, a free, you could play up to a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and then I continued to play it. Yeah, it was a good game. I enjoyed it. You know, I like RTSs. So for me, you know, I thought it had a good story. It played well. It was nice. The one you got was what? Legacy of the Void? That's the newest one? Is that it?
No, I didn't pick up the newest one yet. I have the
Of the Swarm.
So I have Wings of Liberty, which is the one you played. The
Terran, 2010.
And Heart of the Swarm.
Yeah, Heart of the Swarm came out in 2013.
Okay.
And then the third one was the Legacy of the Void.
Right, which I haven't gotten that far, so I didn't pick it up yet.
Yeah. I haven't played it in a while. Apparently, at BlizzCon 2015, Blizzard announced that they're going to still release more stuff for StarCraft 2.
Yeah, there's going to be the Nova expansion.
Covert Ops or something like that.
Yep, which the Ghost Nova was one of my favorite units back in the original StarCraft. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited, actually, to see if I continue and get to that point where I pick up Nova as well.
Nice.
Sadly, we'll never get that PlayStation 2 first-person shooter Ghost Nova story that we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good time. I mean, other than being sick. And then I also went from there to playing Heroes of the Storm again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun again. I'm enjoying MOBAs with the new mouse that I bought for this laptop, or RTS, like just that style of selecting, clicking all over the place. I played a little Diablo 3 as well, just kind of going through my Blizzard client.
Right.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm, I only played a little bit. I had played more of League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And Heroes of the Storm, because I remember all these characters, or at least most of them, it kind of made me want to play more. And I got from level 2 to level 8 while just sitting around playing, cool. doing tutorials, cool. played some actual online games.
Cool. That's cool. Any other games? Or was that it?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
How about you? What have you been playing?
I didn't play a lot this week. Been doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
Watching movies and other stuff. Went to a beer festival this weekend, which was fun. I had a good time. So by the time I got home, I crashed on the couch like at 11. So I didn't even get to play anything then. That was Saturday. What I did play was Destiny, mm-hmm. but I've been primarily playing it on the Xbox One. I'm trying to level up my Warlock on that. I got my Hunter to level 295. He's level 40, but his light level is 295 now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. And I got my Warlock right now to level 36. And I want to get her to 40 before Iron Banner starts. Because today, Bungie had their weekly update, the first one of the new year. And it was actually announced that Iron Banner starts up on Tuesday the 26th.
Yep.
It returns. And this time it's going to be Rift, which is first. It's a first for Iron Banner. Rift mm-hmm. isn't bad, but I don't know how it's going to be for Iron Banner. I don't know. I'd like Control for Iron Banner. You know, I didn't mind it when they had Clash. That wasn't bad. But I don't know. We'll see how Rift goes. So I wanted to get my Warlock to level 40 so I could, you know, do well in Iron Banner with her. You know, obviously I'm going to play the PS4 characters first and then do the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I had all four characters got to rank 5 in Iron Banner. This time I'll have 5, which I'm sure I'll be able to get into Iron Banner, no problem. They mentioned what's going to be available, you know, what's going to be available for drops. I think we're going to be able to get vests, boots. The weapons that they'll have is going to be the fusion and the scout rifle. Those two will be available. Class items are going to be available. And they said the PlayStation exclusive class items are going to be available as well. But this time they call them the PlayStation exclusive timed items. So apparently they're going to Xbox.
They've always said that they're timed. They're 1 year.
No, they didn't say about the Iron Banner stuff. This is the first time they have timed next to it, because tons of people were noting that online.
Every time I've ever heard them say anything about exclusive for PlayStation, it always said
for
1 year.
Not for Iron Banner, they never said that before. Now they said timed. Before it was always just PlayStation exclusive. Now it's got the little asterisk that says timed. It didn't last time we had Iron Banner. So who knows when they didn't announce when it'll be released for Xbox or anything. But so that will happen. And then they also announced that there's going to be a event starting on February 9th called Crimson Days. They actually released a screenshot of what the tower is going to look like. It's going to be very red. And my guess it's they're celebrating Valentine's Day.
Pretty much. It goes for a week.
For 1 week. It's going to be an event similar to Festival of the Lost that they had in October.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also introducing a new 2v2 Crucible game as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you'll be able to do a 2v2. I don't know if it's permanent. It might be permanent, but it's being introduced then. And then they said in February they're going to have another announcement that will outline another big update to Destiny in 2016.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what I've been doing. I downloaded some of the free games on Xbox One. I also downloaded one free game on PlayStation, Grim Fandango.
Yep.
But I haven't played it yet, so. But hopefully I'll have more time this
week.
People
love that game. There's a huge cult following on that game.
It's also available for the PS Vita as a free download this month. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, next week I'll get some. Definitely next week when Iron Banner starts. You're going to have to finally fucking finish Iron Banner. But it's so easy to do, you know? It's so easy.
Maybe.
It's a good way to rank up your character, too.
True.
You're guaranteed a 310 ghost and pretty much a 310 artifact. Guaranteed. And then I got a drop of 320 boots for my Titan. And my Hunter on my Xbox One, when I started playing Iron Banner, my light level was only 228. And when I finished Iron Banner, it was 282. Because I got a 310 ghost, I got a 310 artifact, I got a drop, a gun was 292, the auto rifle. I got a drop of, what else? I got the cloak. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't get the cloak. I got something else. I forgot. But then one of my rewards for reaching rank 5, I got 316 boots for my Hunter.
Nice.
And I was at like 228 when I got the 316. So, you know, it really helps rank you up. All of my PlayStation 4 characters are over 300 light level.
None of mine are.
All of mine are.
My highest one is like 298.
And pretty soon, I guarantee you, my Hunter on Xbox One will be over 300 too. He's at 295 already.
He's of no consequence to me.
Yeah. I was playing, I played a little bit this weekend with Oprah, mm-hmm. good friend of ours, friend of the podcast. And because we had that linked quest, that refer friend thing that they offered, because mm-hmm. I had bought mine over on Black Friday. So we got to like level 5 of that quest. So we got like an emblem. I got a sword. I got that exclusive sword that you were rewarded for reaching rank 40 in the referrer friend, which is kind of like the other ones, but it's just a different look. It looks a little different.
Gotcha.
So I got that. And then our next two rewards are emotes. There's a high five emote.
Oh, I've seen that.
And then there's a dance remote that you can do with each other. And then the final reward is an exclusive sparrow, which you can only get through that, the refer friend.
Cool.
Yeah, so we were having fun doing that. Played some Crucible. We did that. We kicked ass in Crucible, which was nice. Got some legendary remarks. But, yeah, that was the extent of my gaming. Did a lot of reading. Watched a bunch of movies. Got caught up on some TV shows, too. So that's it gaming-wise. So why don't we move on then? Speaking of reading, I read a bit. Did you read this week?
I did, a little bit.
A little bit. So that means you probably read one of the new comics.
No.
There's only four.
Of the new ones, I read like three.
Three? Oh, I read four. Did you read Pencilhead?
I did.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this one, actually.
This was it was Image, right? Yeah, Image comic by Ted McKeever. He did the art and he wrote it. I thought it was interesting. I'm not really sure what to make of it. I wasn't really sure what the point of the series is, to be honest with you. I know it's only four issues, so I might stick with it. But I don't know. What were your thoughts on it?
For me, it was very, very self-referential. It definitely has that 90s indie comic feel of people writing stories about wanting to write comics. And it was also a little anti-mainstream comics. So, but I really liked the ink work on it. It had a different style to it. Almost the sadness of the main character made him like a very recognizable character that I really enjoyed seeing him with so few lines juxtaposed with how much like grunge style like a Subway would be drawn with.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the little creature that was kind of following him around. But I did feel like the beginning and the end were highs for me and the middle was a low.
Yeah.
because it goes weirdly dark to a point where I was like, I'm not totally sure what I'm reading here, but overall I was interested by what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, holy shit, this was awesome. Like, no. I read some other number ones this week that I really enjoyed a lot more. I would say there was four number ones I read this week, and for me, it would probably rank 4 out of 4. Yeah, I'd say 4 out of 4.
I don't think I enjoyed this week as much as you.
Oh, I did. Did you read Captain Marvel?
I did.
So did I. It's a Marvel series, obviously. actually, not obviously, because there is a Marvel at DC. It's by Michelle Fazekas and Chris Anka. I enjoyed it. I think I really enjoyed it. I liked how Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, it's Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel, how she's kind of like the de facto leader of Alpha Flight. Like, we've got Alpha Flight back in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I thought that was really strange.
I like that. I used to love reading Alpha Flight. You know, if you don't know who Alpha Flight is, it's kind of like sort of the Canadian X-Men, sort of.
Or Canadian X-Force.
Yeah, I guess you could say X-Force.
Because they're government, too. Aren't they?
They were, and then they broke off, and then they were again, and then they broke off. They were formed by Canada's Department H, which Department H was the people who did the Weapon X program, and Weapon X is Wolverine.
Deadpool, mm-hmm. Omega Red.
Yep. So it was kind of neat. I mean, we saw some of the old familiar ones. We saw Puck. We saw Sasquatch. We saw Aurora. Her brother's North Star, who used to be a member of the X-Men. We haven't seen him recently. But we saw Aurora. Who else did we see from Alpha Flight? We saw a bunch. But now Alpha Flight is in space, pretty much. They're stationed at this space station, which I guess they're calling Alpha Flight. You know, not just the team, but everything is called Alpha Flight. And Carol Danvers is the head of it. You know, she's the leader, and she's on a 2-year mission as the head of Alpha Flight, the station, and also the team. I liked it. I liked seeing the old team. I liked seeing those characters introduced. That was totally a surprise for me. I had no idea that they were going to bring them in, and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought the story was pretty good. You know, it's about her taking over as head of the station. And how she wants to make it a position that's not just a desk jockey position for her. You know, she wants to go out in the field as well, and she gets to. And I thought it was pretty good. What did you think?
I agree. I thought it was pretty good. I wasn't an Alpha Flight fan from back in the day, so there's no nostalgia for me. But I thought it was cool that there is a team set up that's recognizable. And I thought the desk jockey thing with Rocket Raccoon showing up was kind of like a nice touch.
Yeah, where he was stealing the stuff.
Yep.
She's like, "You're stealing it, aren't you?" He's like, "Oh, I guess you could say that." And he kept rubbing it in, making those little jabs about her being a desk jockey.
Yep. Yeah. I think it was a good first issue. Started introducing a completely new scenario, but it did it in a way where you weren't confused or looking for loopholes or anything. It just was like, here's what's happening. And you're like, all right, it's all presented really tidily. And I think I'm looking forward to where this series is going to go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Did you read Dreaming Eagles?
I did not.
Okay.
I don't even know what this is about.
Did you read American Monster?
I read half of American Monster. Got so bored, I started flipping through.
Are you kidding me?
And I was done.
You're a savage. All right, let's start with Dreaming Eagles. This is from Garth Ennis and Simon Colby. Now, it's a new series from a new publisher. The publisher's called Aftershock Comics. It's founded by Mike Martz. He was an editor. He worked at Marvel, he worked at DC, and kind of went off on his own and created his own label, pretty much. And he's, you know, trying to get big names in the fold, and he did. You know, he's got Garth Ennis, he's got Brian Azzarello, he's got a bunch of people, well-known artists, mm-hmm. doing work with him. And this was one of them. You know, honestly, there's really no bigger name than Garth Ennis. And I always loved a good Ennis War story, which is what this is about, pretty much. This one is about a black man who fought in World War II as a fighter pilot, and his struggles with dealing with the war, and then years later back home with his son. You know, it takes place in two different times, in the mid-60s, like 1966, and then it also takes place in 1942, I believe, and through World War II. What it was, he was one of the Tuskegee Airmen, which was a famed U.S. Army Air Force fighter wing.
Cool.
That was made up of all African-American pilots. You know, these were good pilots, and they had to deal with a lot of racism back in the day, you know, even within the military, from other military guys. And this told, you know, it started with his struggle trying to tell his son, you know, who in the 60s, his son's, you know, probably 20 something. And his son was really enamored by Martin Luther King. He had gone and listened to him taking a speech, and his whole thing, you know, dealing with racism. And he's trying to teach his son that, you know, why would you fight for a country who didn't care about you because you were black? So he's trying to teach his son a lesson. I just like how it started. You know, I liked it. I thought it was a really good story, and I liked reading about his struggle with his son and not really sharing his experiences with his son. His son always thought, you know, he was just, oh, you know, just let it slide, turn the other cheek. But he wasn't. This guy was a fighter pilot in World War II, you know, and he told of shooting down planes, and when you would shoot at the plane, you wouldn't think there was a man in there. You know, you just think, I'm shooting a plane down. You don't think you're killing people. When you're escorting those bombers over Dresden and they're dropping all those bombs and carpet bombing a city, you're not thinking about those thousands of people down there who are dying and who are having their homes destroyed and everything. You know, to you, you're just flying a mission. So he was dealing with his experiences, and I really liked it. I really liked it. This wasn't your typical Garth Ennis war story, mm-hmm. and I think that's what I liked most about it. It was really good.
Sounds awesome.
It's a mini series, and I'm definitely on board. Definitely, I think it's 4 issues or maybe 6, but it got me hook, line, and sinker. Definitely going to finish this. I really liked it. I always like Garth Ennis stuff, mm-hmm. and he does great war stories. You know, he has War Stories, which is a series at Avatar Press, and he's done other, you know, he did Weird War Tales at Vertigo. He's done a lot of war military comics, mm-hmm. and he was famed for his Punisher stuff. I thought he did a good job. I really liked it. Really liked it. And the other one I read from Aftershock Comics is American Monster number one. This is from Brian Azzarello and Juan Doe, little play on John Doe. I am the opposite of you.
Yeah?
I really dug this book. Yeah.
I think everybody knows that we're opposites of each other.
I'm a fan of Brian Azzarello's work. 100 Bullets, his Batman stuff, some of his other Vertigo stuff. I always liked, and I'm always willing to give him a shot. Mm-hmm. I really dug this one. From the art to the story, I liked the whole gritty crime drama that was going on. It had a bit of a Jason Aaron feel to it for me, kind of like a Southern Bastards type feel. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a little shout out to them right in the beginning of the comic. I don't know if you saw it when they had the football game that was on. They were the announcers talking about Aaron Latour, one of the players in the game. That's after Jason Aaron and Jason Latour, who do Southern Bastards.
Okay.
So he took their two last names and made it Aaron Latour. So I thought that was kind of neat. But, you know, it had that real gritty criminal, we're going to fuck shit up type feel to it. And I liked it. I really liked it. I'm down with one. I enjoyed this book. I was not bored at all. I found it really interesting. And I liked it. I like these type of stories. So why didn't you like it?
For me, we got to, like, scene 2, and you had a bunch of guys, at one point they say, literally say, the N-word, and then in the next frame say the R-word, spelled A-R. Mm-hmm. So you already started losing my attention just because that was stupid.
Well, did you read why they were saying it?
He said the N-word because he wanted to say the real word and then didn't want to politically offend anyone.
His friend kept busting his balls about it. He's like, you don't have to talk like that. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not a retard. You shouldn't call him the R-word.
No.
And he's like, oh, you're being politically correct. He's like, I'm not being politically correct. I'm just being a good person by not saying it. That's why they were saying it.
And then they got into a fight. And then the next scene, there was the vegetarian vegan girl that kept taking her shirt up. And by the time I got to the end of that scene, I was just like, I don't
want to even read this. You know why she was doing that, right? She was getting money from the guy on the seesaw.
Yeah, no interest.
Every time she did that, he was paying her. So that's how she was getting money.
Yeah, you lost me already. I just have no interest in that story.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're a savage.
Opposite, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like 9 pages in at that point, and nothing interesting has happened, so I was just out.
I don't know. I thought a lot of interesting happened in that book. But that's just me. What do I know?
Not much, sadly.
Mm-hmm. So did you read anything else?
I read Lucifer number 2.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think we're pretty much sticking with what we said. This is just not really...
Not really good.
Yeah. It's just not... It's not living up to what the first series presented us with. And then tried to read Starbrand and Nightmass number 2.
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
That was rough even from a visual standpoint.
Yeah, I agree.
It felt very rushed almost. It didn't have... It didn't stay in line with the first comic's artwork, but in general, like, the pencil work changed from page to page, which really took me out of it.
Yeah.
And then I started to read Uncanny X-Men number 2, and I realized I didn't read the first one. So I stopped.
Well, that's not good.
That was, we mentioned in the other podcast where I was like, oh, that came out, I didn't even see it.
But yeah, I didn't think it was that good either.
You weren't interested.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that good either. Number 2. Thought they could have done a better job. A little disappointed with that. Same with Batman. I read Batman 48. I'm just not feeling Batman lately. Not feeling it. I used to love it. Now, not so much.
I enjoyed it right up until the Robo-Rabbit Batman came
out. Yeah, oh God. Yeah, I'm not
and
a fan
I've
of that.
And then just been
Rabbit.
Out.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the end of it hopefully has promise. Because Batman's like, show me to the cave. Bruce Wayne's like, bring me to the cave. Show me my suit. So hopefully it means Batman's back. And we don't have to deal with Rabbit Man. But who knows? Yeah, so there was some news that came out this week from Marvel, I guess. A couple bits of news.
There was some news that I was confused about. That people were like texting me about. Steve Rogers returning as Captain America this summer.
Yep.
He is Captain America right now.
Well, he's returning as... He's
as young Steve Rogers?
Yes. Not the old Steve Rogers anymore. It's going to be his own ongoing series titled Steve Rogers Captain America. Because Sam Wilson is going to remain Captain America as well. This Captain America, Steve Rogers, he's got a new uniform and a new shield. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the round shield. He's got that, like, old-school shield.
Back to his original
shape. Yeah, kind of like that shape. Yep. It's really not surprising, considering the poor numbers that Sam Wilson's Captain America is doing. I mean, when you think of Captain America, you think of Steve Rogers. That's the guy you think of as Captain America.
Yeah, or
even,
at least
even when
a
it was
super
Bucky
soldier.
Who took over. Even when it was Bucky who took over, you thought, you know... This isn't the real Captain America. It's Bucky Barnes as Captain America, you know?
I mean, that is the essential problem most comic book fans have with any of these, like, shakeups. It's always like, oh, we're dealing with the female Thor, but Thor will be back.
Yes.
It always feels
like... It's like Batman. It's like they kept insisting, nope, Batman's gone. Jim Gordon's the new Batman. Bruce Wayne is not Batman. Bruce Wayne's not... You know what? Bruce Wayne's going to be Batman again. Bruce Wayne's going to be Batman. We all know it. Yeah. And if the end of issue 48 was anything, he's coming back sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that Steve Rogers is coming back as Captain America. Not a surprise at all.
I just found it so strange that people were, like, interested about it. I was like...
Well, that's good.
Hopefully that's good. Are you going to read it? And they're like, no.
Oh, so... Like,
they just watched the movie, so now they're Captain America fans.
Oh. How about you read it?
I try to make people read shit.
I know. I tried getting my wife to read something. She read the first issue, and then she's like, oh, it's good. I'll read the rest. And then afterwards, she's like, no, I don't care.
Was it Witches?
Black Magic.
Oh, Black Magic. I meant.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. I like the series.
What other news? Remember
last week, we were talking about that tease Marvel had about bringing back a dead character.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, who could it be? Wolverine. He's already back. Well, it's not necessarily a dead
I said corpse. Aunt May.
Yeah, which Aunt May is already alive, so you were wrong right there. It's not a person they're bringing back. Rather, it's a quote-unquote character. Marvel announced that they're bringing the Wasp back to the comic verse. Now, this is going to be the first time in Wasp history where it's not Janet Van Dyne. They haven't said who the new Wasp will be, but we know it's not going to be Janet Van Dyne. And this is the first time ever that the Wasp is not Janet.
Gotcha.
So,
I mean, when I said Aunt May last week, I was actually just referring to the universe has been so shaken up that we don't know who's alive or dead. So, like, who, no matter who they announce would not be a big surprise. Hmm. And...
Well, we know Aunt May is alive because she's been in Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, I haven't been reading that. But wow. To see Wasp return is kind of like, okay. I mean, you just added it on to the Ant-Man sequel, so we assume that the Wasp was coming back. I didn't even know she was gone.
She's been gone for a while in the comics, well before Secret Wars.
The last time I read a comic with her in it, it was in the Ultimates line, and it was when her husband was trying to kill her with bug spray.
Oh.
Which was 15 years ago, maybe?
Maybe. But, anything else you wanted to chat about in the world of comic books?
Not really.
No?
I want things to go back to normal.
I don't know.
Some I want them to introduce, like, new characters instead of trying to move everything around. Although, I guess that's not sound business advice. Because
yeah, especially some of these not new characters their own line. Not in their own series.
True. A-Force has been awesome.
A-Force has been
well, not okay. This version of A-Force. I liked A-Force during...
Secret
War.
Yeah, see, I didn't like it anywhere near as much as you did.
Savage.
I thought it was average at best. But, whatevs. So why don't we just talk about a different form of comic books, TVs.
Sure.
Comics
since
on TV.
All comics.
What?
I said, since they're all comics.
Well, most
that
of them.
I'm watching.
Did you watch The Flash this
I did.
Week? Yeah, you know, regarding this week's episode, you know, there's an old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. I didn't like this episode at all. I thought it was probably one of the weakest Flash episodes ever. I thought the story was lame. It hit so many stupid tropes between the father and his son, Barry and his girlfriend, all that shit. Even the villain was lame. The turtle? Really?
Is that a real character?
Yeah, no, he is. He is a real character. He is a real Flash villain from the comics. And there's been a couple iterations of the turtle, but come on. This one was just lame.
I didn't mind the turtle
himself at all.
I liked it a little bit more than you, but not like it wasn't a good episode. Mm-hmm. But I liked at least the concept of the turtle, like that there's something proportionally opposite to the Flash almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like where their powers fought, but the solution was kind of lame. So
yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it.
It's like, oh, you could just run faster.
Yeah, I know.
It's like,
and the whole, you know, spoilers, what's her name? Patty breaks up with Barry because she's leaving Central City. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, God, every single little, you know, trope was hit in this episode. I just did not like it. Didn't like it at all. And let's stick with the CW shows, because then we also had the premiere of, well, you know, mid-season premiere, I guess you could say, of Arrow. Mm-hmm. That came back, too. I thought this one was a little bit better than The Flash, but it was still kind of lame. Spoilers, Felicity survives. And sadly, she's not the one in the grave, because there's a little flash forward, too. And we still don't find out who the person in the grave is, but it's not her. Oh, and Damien Dark's family, you know, I told my wife that Ollie and his crew should have just done something to them, or they should have just let, what's his name, Anarchy, do his job and just get rid of them. And my wife's like, why would you do that? Why would you attack an innocent family? I'm like, you know, they're not as innocent as they seem. And she's like, well, the girl is. I'm like, yeah, leave her alive so then she can grow up and want revenge for her parents' death or something. No, you just get rid of her too. My wife's like, that's just mean. That's cruel. I'm like, it's not cruel. It's ensuring your safety now and in the future. Listen, if somebody fucks with my family bad enough, right, and they kill people and they really hurt people, and I'm going after them, I'm not leaving anybody left. I'm not going to leave some freaking 12-year-old kid there who could see me do it, and then, you know, 10, 15 years in the future, they're like, you killed my parents. Now I'm going to kill you. Fuck that shit, motherfucker. Put that kid out.
You learn better from A Bronx Tale.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Listen.
Sonny
be alive today. You know? Exactly.
And if you don't get that reference, to anyone listening, you're a fucking savage.
You should watch that.
Just stop this. Go watch A Bronx Tale and then come back.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I was right. The wife's just as evil as Damien Dark is. You know?
Yep.
And now his stupid decision is going to come back and bite him in the ass. We already seen it spitting him in the ass. They should have just done. He should have just let Anarchy do his job and get rid of Dark and family. It's all they should have done. They'd been like, you know what? I let Anarchy go. Let's just let him take care of this. Because if they somehow survive and Anarchy dies, well, guess what? Now we don't have to worry about Anarchy either. And we'll still go after Dark. But if Anarchy did the job, great. He took care of that job. Now let's just go after Anarchy.
But his team would have bitched about it.
Oh, fuck them.
There's a lot of drama.
No, I don't think Diggle would have bitched about it. I think Diggle was at the point, was like, hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I think finally. He's at that point. Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was kind of, I don't know. This whole Damien Dark story, I kind of like it better when it was Villain of the Week. Just keep it Villain of the Week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whole overarching storyline, not a big fan of it.
I would be okay if it wasn't so focused on just the overart. Like, if we had little snippets of what they do on a regular patrol, meet a new character.
Yeah.
Like, and then have the overarching. That might be better, but this continually going after someone and having no way to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
It, at this point, it's like, you realize if you stayed home and watched TV, you would have been as effective as you were.
Yep.
Because you have no idea how to defeat this. The only thing that really was interesting to me is that his flashback was not a direct analogy to what was happening, or at least not yet.
Yeah.
Where normally every other time it's just like,
I was thinking there could have been a tie-in because the flashback had the Chinese characters that Constantine put on him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a protection spell almost.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that something might have happened with that when he was battling Damien Dark.
Yeah, but because it didn't come to a conclusion, you're like, oh, that was slightly different.
Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, so far, the CW...
Not a great week.
Yes. Now, I watched Legends of Tomorrow, or should I say DC's Legends of Tomorrow. I think it's 13 episodes. It just premiered on the CW, and And basically what it is it takes some heroes and some villains that have appeared on Arrow and the Flash, and it teams them up in a time traveling adventure. We've got Captain Cold. We've got, what's he called? Heatwave?
Yep.
Heatwave. We've got Hawk Girl and Hawk Man. Mm-hmm. Why do they call him Hawk Man and Hawk Girl? Why can't it be Hawk Woman? You know what I mean?
Tradition.
I Anyways, we got Hawk Man, Hawk Girl, Heatwave, Captain Cold, The Atom, Ray Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Black Canary.
White Canary.
Oh, White Canary.
Sarah Lance, White Canary. She's back. And we have Dr. Stein and Jax Jackson, who form up and become Firestorm. This is not the Firestorm. It's the Firestorm with Dr. Stein, but he's got kid that, yeah, who is the mechanic that they recruited, not the other character.
No, the football player.
Yeah. Well, he was a mechanic.
Oh, was he?
He's working as a mechanic. He got hurt playing football.
Gotcha.
Yep. And they're being led by Rip Hunter, who's a time master from the future. Basically, he comes back to time. He recruits them all to help him stop Vandal Savage, who we saw in the Arrow Flash crossover last month, 2 months ago.
Yep.
So it's a time traveling adventure of all these characters. I thought it started off well. I liked it. I enjoyed this.
Started off well, meaning this episode or this season?
This episode. Okay. I mean, it's the first episode.
Well, I mean, like, you enjoyed the first 10 minutes of the episode or you enjoyed this?
No. The whole episode. Okay. I enjoyed how the episode was. I enjoyed how it started the show, how it introduced everybody. I like the little twist. Spoilers, they're not legends. Did you watch it?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, I liked how he lied to them to get them on board.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of funny where he kept talking about being a time master and traveling through time and this and that. And I'm like, oh, he was a companion to the Time Lord, Doctor Who. It was the same actor.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Rip Hunter was in Doctor Who for a couple seasons. David Tennant's Doctor Who. He was one of the companions. So I thought it was pretty neat. I thought the special effects and everything was top notch. They did a great job with that stuff. His ship was cool looking. All the effects with that, with Kronos, the bounty hunter, showing London in the future, the Blitz of Vandal Savage, you know, killing everyone. I thought everything looked good. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked this episode. What'd you think? You didn't like it.
I did not like this.
Really? Why?
Well, let me start off with, I agree with you that the special effects look great. It's still, like, what the CW is doing for superheroes mm-hmm. is pretty impressive. Mm. For me, it was really the story and also characters that I just don't particularly like. All thrown together didn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of a lot of issues with what was happening in the setup where mm-hmm. I just was like getting stuck on it rather than just going with it.
Like what?
For instance, they can't find Vandal Savage has been elusive throughout the last 4,000 years, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And then we have two characters in the room who have been killed like 200 times by Vandal Savage.
209 times.
Yep. So I would think you could think of at least 209 times points in space and time where he was, including one where he almost died. That might make this way easier. Also, I know it's weird because we already know who these characters are. But mm-hmm. This episode is very obviously written so that new watchers can jump on as well. So there's a lot of the like exposition or just saying things character wouldn't need to say to let other new watchers understand. Mm-hmm. But it was really starting to like annoy me, such as like Hawkman mentions that he has 4,000 years of memories. Then they go back to 1975, and he doesn't remember shit.
What do you mean?
there's a bunch of things where, like, they're meeting his son. Uh-huh. I guess spoilers. They're meeting his son, and he doesn't remember, like, the names or... And she doesn't remember anything at all.
Well, her, it's, I mean, they've been showing how it's been coming back in bits and pieces to her about how she hasn't really embraced the whole thing yet, so it hasn't all opened up. He remembers stuff. But, I mean, 4,000 years, you're not going to remember every little minutia, every little detail.
It seems like you would remember the last life you had.
We don't know if that's the last life they had. They could have had one in between, because that was in the 1930s they were killed.
1970, oh, when they were his parents?
He was a 10-year-old boy, yeah. And you figure he was at least 55 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the 30s, 1930s?
Probably.
Yeah, we don't know. So, but
I mean, it was just things like that that started to pile up. Also, I mean, I still hate the voices that Captain Cold and Heatwave use.
Oh, I don't mind them. I think it's funny. I like it.
I think it's so stupid.
Oh, it never bothered me.
Also, just things in general, like, one of the biggest rules for them is to not interrupt, like, the time flow. He talks about how bad it would be if somebody saw a spaceship in, like, Victorian England or something. And then the first thing he does after that sentence is turn off the cloaking. It's like, oh, but here you go. I'm going to do it anyways.
When?
Literally, that's how they introduced the ship.
Because he was introducing them to get on the ship. Because they're like, oh, yeah, where's this ship of yours? He's like, right here. Boop.
Yeah, uncloak. Well, no. First he says, it's very important that nobody from the past sees future technology.
Right.
Then he does it.
Yeah, but how else would they get on the ship?
The same way you did in Star Trek. You just lower the frigging gate and walk on.
Now nitpicking. Now you're, and in Star Trek, it opened up and you were able to see the inside. Entrance onto the ship, yeah. And inside. So you're, I mean, it was still exposing. Whoever saw it would be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, versus everyone who could see it fly away.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Now you're nitpicking.
That's what I said. It started to just pile up of just little things that were like, oh my God.
It sounds like it was in your head that you didn't like it. So you're like, oh, I'm not going to like anything about it. So you just let little things get big for no reason. Yes.
That's what you want it to be. It's just no, I didn't
what,
really
that's
like
what it is.
No, because there were no big things that I liked about it. Mm-hmm. Other than it's another comic show on TV. Mm-hmm. But
are you going to give it another shot or no?
Not really, unless I have to.
You're a savage.
I mean, is there any point to them doing this at all?
This point, they've decided, why not? And we're here to save the future. Because she said her little story, you know, in his future, we're not legends. But we could remake the future and we can become legends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Ray Palmer's like, yeah, that's true. I could become somebody. So why not give it a shot? You know, that's why. Just because he's not famous now doesn't mean he can't do something trying to save the future and become famous.
Like becoming Iron Man.
Yep. So the other show I liked was, or I watched, I should say, was Colony. It's a new show that started last week on the USA Network. Takes place in the near future where aliens invade Earth and then they break up cities and whatnot into different districts that are separated by these massive walls. The show takes place in Los Angeles. You know, the people are ruled with an iron fist. You have the collaborators and the resistance. It's your typical us versus them type show.
It sounds exactly like Secret Wars.
Kind of.
For it's your typical us versus them type on
what
iPhone.
The fuck?
What's a sound?
That is so weird. My Siri just went off. That's weird. But, yeah, I mean, you have the collaborators, you have the resistance. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it, actually. You know, we haven't seen the aliens yet. All we've seen are the humans. But, you know, right now it's just dealing with the people on the street, so to speak. But I thought the acting and the writing was pretty good. So, you know, I'll definitely – it's 13 episodes, I think, this season.
Mm-hmm.
Second episode, you know, actually airs tonight. It's probably airing now. So if you haven't seen it yet, there's only two episodes. You probably could pick it up on the USA app. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was good. I liked it. It's got Josh Holloway. He was in Lost. He played, what's his name in Lost? It was the blonde guy there with the longer hair.
Oh, Sawyer?
Sawyer. Yep. He played Sawyer. And then it's got, what's her name? She was in The Walking Dead. She played the wife, and she was also in Prison Break. Sarah Wayne Kelly, I think her name is. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of like...
Go ahead.
What'd you watch?
Brandy and I watched Broadchurch on Netflix.
Which series? Series one?
Yeah, season one.
Carrie and I watched that one. Carrie and I watched that when it first started.
It was really good. Interestingly, the priest on that was the guy that played Rip Hunter in Legends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good.
But I did continue on to season two, which goes on to destroy what happened in season one. So I do suggest watching season one. I don't know if season two is going to be worth it.
So wait, you didn't finish season one?
No, we finished season one. Then we started season two, and season two destroys season one.
Why do you say that?
Everything that felt like it was accomplished and that you learned is undone.
How many episodes are you in?
Two. Into season two.
Okay. I really didn't get that impression, but okay.
I mean, the court case just falls apart, essentially.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm further into it than you are.
Okay.
But yeah. I thought it was still good. They're going to have a season three, so that'll be interesting. Watch anything else?
Not that I was really awake for. I was kind of in and out, just being sick.
Right.
Any news sucks. On the... We watched the trailer that you and I also didn't agree on.
Yeah, so why don't we just start with that? So, the new Suicide trailer debuted during a special on the CW this week. I know you didn't like it, but I loved it. Everything for me but the Joker looked great in it, and they just picked the perfect song for use in that trailer. I if you haven't seen it yet, head on over to our Facebook page. We've got it posted up there, but I really liked it. I dug it a lot.
I thought that was a terrible song for this trailer.
I think your medicine has gotten to you.
What part of that song went with what you were watching?
High as a motherfucking kite. That was perfect for it. Bohemian Rhapsody was perfect for that trailer. The song doesn't have to go with the movie. It just the way they cut the trailer with that song was just it was great. Everything but the Joker. The Joker still has not convinced me at all. Jared Leto has not. The only thing I like about the Joker is the green hair, pretty much. Everything else, I'm not a big fan of. But Harley Quinn looks awesome and hot. Captain Boomerang looked funny as hell. Katana looks great.
Killer Croc looks terrible.
Killer Croc looks better now, I think, than he did before. I thought it was cool. I liked it. Seems like there's going to be a bit of humor in it, too. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Why didn't you like it?
I mean, I still don't really like the art direction. That trailer, though, specifically, that music did nothing for that trailer. It really didn't go with the scenes that were going. I thought the music for the first trailer was much more fitting of what they were trying to do, at least. But we also noticed a tonal difference visually. Everything's kind of Joker-esque now, which is a weird focus for Suicide Squad.
What do you mean, Joker?
Like, all the graphics. Literally, even any letters used at all are the, like, style that they're using to do the Joker. Like, lots of pinks and all squiggly, kind of trying to make their own version.
You've
of
never read Suicide Squad, have you?
I have, unfortunately. I did not think Suicide Squad... Any of the ones I've read were never good, so... The best Suicide Squad story for me was the animated video, the animated movie.
Yeah, no, there's good Suicide Squad stuff out there. There definitely is.
But I mean, even recently, I don't like Harley Quinn's stories either. Like, her comic is terrible.
Oh, her comic was terrible lately. Absolutely terrible. They ruined her, I think. like Gotham City Sirens, it was great when it was her and Catwoman and Poison Ivy. That was great. But the recent one, don't like it at all. But this isn't, you know, this isn't her. And this Suicide Squad with her in it, in the when they first started it, was pretty good. And then it kind of trailed off a bit. I haven't read the new Suicide Squad. But like the logo and everything, that's pure Suicide Squad. Pure Suicide Squad. Absolutely.
What do you mean? The logo's for Suicide Squad.
They've had different logos over time.
Yeah, but I mean, well, the 70s one's barely...
The movie logo. The movie logo. I don't see anything Joker in it.
I don't even remember what it looked like.
Well, you were saying the style.
Yeah, like, did you see all of the text at the end of the trailer?
Yeah.
It was squiggly pink letters?
Yep, yep. It's like Harley Quinn did it, you know, with all the voices in her head. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear her say Mr. J.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess on her.
I fully expect her to probably be the best part of the movie. But for me, this isn't anything more than hopefully it turns out to be a decent action flick to watch. But there's nothing is really sticking out to me as something I want to watch. Or more importantly, I want to pay money for to go to a theater to watch.
Oh, I definitely want to see this in the theater. Batman v Superman? Still no. This one? Yes.
Man, after that, like, half-hour special with Kevin Smith, I have no interest in Batman v Superman.
I have very, very minimal interest. Like, oh, I could wait till it's on cable. That's my interest.
You know, yeah, I mean...
Speaking of that special, they also aired a couple of video clips from the Wonder Woman movie that's currently in production. And... this is another thing that I just, it's not high on my wish list. Nothing they showed was like, oh, I have to see this movie. Nothing.
I'm kind of still surprised they're going to make the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's being made. They're filming. And it's clear that it takes place, at least part of the movie does, in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing they showed stood out to me for this movie at all. At all.
I agree.
So. I'm not very interested in it.
Would you say there are good Wonder Woman stories?
Yeah, I haven't read one in a while. I never really read Wonder Woman. Wasn't really my thing. But a lot of people were saying, not this run, the run right before it, before Convergence, was really good.
Hmm.
People are saying that was really good. You know, during that show, was it?
I can't think of a good one I've ever read. The only one I can even remember really like sticking out was the one where Alex Ross redid her outfit, and it was like a black pantsuit.
Yeah, that was a lame one. I never really read it, though. Never been all that much into Wonder Woman.
Have you watched the animated stuff?
Yeah, I watched her animated movie. It was okay.
I thought it was okay as well.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Going back to that preview show they did, they also gave a glimpse to Cyborg, Aquaman, and The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, the Flash costume they showed looked awful. It looked terrible. I hated it.
I guess they also made a huge mistake of them just not using the Flash from the show.
Yeah, they want to keep it separate. Yeah. What are you going to do? Like a multiverse? Yeah, it is what it is. But they also mentioned that we're going to be seeing a Green Lantern Corps show up in the Justice League movie. That would interest me, the Green Lantern Corps. That could definitely interest me.
You're interested to see Deadpool show up wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt?
Yeah. I think he's done with the Green Lantern movies, but what do I know? But what else? What other news was there? Let's talk about... stick with movies for a minute. Did you hear that there's a petition to get Fox to make a cut of Deadpool PG or PG-13?
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Did you see his response?
No, I didn't see his response.
Oh, there's like, I don't know if it's...
I saw a tweet, but it wasn't like from the Deadpool movie. It was like some Deadpool parody account on Twitter. Yeah. It wasn't like the movies or anything.
It was fucking hilarious.
Some YouTube star started this when a mom wrote into her show saying that, you know, her 8-year-old son wanted to see it. And he actually made a list of why he should see it, but you know she won't take him because it's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Too bad, kid.
Mm-hmm. You know, dear mom, this is what parenting is about. Your kids shouldn't go see this movie.
Exactly. My kid is interested in it, but he's 9, and there's no way I'm taking him to see this. I know other people who would have no problem taking their 9-year-old to see something like this. I remember when I went and saw the South Park movie in the theater, mm-hmm. and we were in there, and it was packed, and there was this little kid, maybe 9, 10 years old in there. And that was like, what, 15, 20 years ago? I was in my 20s, and even then I was like, fuck no, I wouldn't bring my kid to this. You know, it's not for him. You know, when he's older, he can watch it. You know, do people go around asking to take the sex out of porn so younger people can watch it? No. And why is that? Well, that's because sometimes things aren't made for kids. Deadpool was not made for kids. Get over it. When you get older, you can watch it.
I love the concept that because he wrote a list, that means he should be able to watch it.
Yeah.
We went on a 8th grade field trip to Canada, and we had to vote on what movie we were going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 1996, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say every guy voted for Showgirls.
That's funny.
Oddly enough, democracy did not work.
Yep. But let's move on. Now let's talk about. Oh, you know what? No, let's stick with movies for another minute. So, Star Wars Episode 8, Disney announced that it's been pushed back to December 2017. That's from May 2017. You know, I think this makes sense. Especially with how much money they made last month in December.
Mm-hmm.
Also couple it with the fact that May has always been a Marvel movie release month, which Disney also owns. So, you know, it's clear to see why they do this. So we've got Episode 7 just came out this past December. Star Wars Rogue One comes out this December. So I think it's safe to say that December is going to be the Star Wars release month because you've got Episode 8 next month. Then the year after, you have that other Star Wars standalone movie, which will probably be in December, and we'll probably get Episode 9 in December of 2019.
I'm good with that. I mean, it's 1 year is fine.
It's smart. You know, I think it's smart, but I know people are upset about it. It's like, whatever, get over it. Whatevs, you know? But,
I mean, basically, that theory's already been proven with the Harry Potter franchise. People will go 8 years in a row in the winter to go watch that shit.
Yep. This is true. And in news that nobody is really surprised about, Jessica Jones was renewed for season 2 on Netflix.
Cool.
I think they're saying that it's going to premiere after the Defenders series. So most likely we'll get season 2 in 2018.
That's because, a long way.
Because we've got March 18th, we've got Daredevil season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in the year, we're going to have Luke Cage season 1. And then next year, we're going to have Iron Fist season 1. And we're going to have The Defenders next year, too, probably at the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And So 2018, it looks like. I can understand.
It's still a long wait.
It is, but whatevs. I'm more excited for Daredevil season 2 than Jessica Jones season 2, you know?
Same.
But, you know.
But I think they should go quarterly. I think they should put out something each quarter.
I don't think they could do that.
The
time constraints. I'm living in reality and you're not. So this is the guy who thought the Suicide Squad trailer sucked because he's living in La La Land.
No, I'm just not a fan of Queen. That's all they needed, apparently, for you.
No, they needed more than that, and they delivered. Anywho,
at least I got the band Netflix, name right.
Yeah, that's true. You did.
I was
pressed. Netflix announced that The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt season 2 starts in April.
Don't care.
And they've already renewed it for season 3. Ugh. You didn't watch this first season?
I made it 4 episodes, and then I was done.
Oh. I only bring this up, you know, because we had chatted about the show before. I thought it was funny. I watched the whole season. I thought it was stupid, but funny.
I thought it was so stupid, and I just wanted her to go back to writing 30 Rock again.
Oh, I thought it got better as the season went along. But, yeah, and it kind of found its footing more. What else? Oh yeah. FX. They, you know how they had the X-Men TV shows they were going to do, Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they said that the X-Men themed TV show Legion, they've already penned it to, penciled it in for a debut in 2016.
I thought Legion was a DC thing.
No. Your Legion was, what's it, Charles Xavier's son. Remember with that big ass hair?
What is, him. Never mind, just.
The Legionnaires.
Is that it?
You're thinking of, yeah.
The L on their belt buckle?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Legionnaires.
So. Legion to Tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So they said, and they also said it's going to be in a parallel universe than the X movies that Fox is putting out. And they also said that Hellfire show that they were going to do has been scrapped.
Hmm.
And they're just going to focus on the Legion show.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I got to admit, I really have zero interest in that. Zero. I didn't like Legion at all. I didn't like him as a character. I just didn't care for it. But,
I loved Age of Apocalypse. He was a necessary evil
for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Staying with FX, they also said that Brian K. Vaughan gets to pick who's going to work on the Why the Last Man TV show that's in development there, which that's this cool. is a show I would love to watch. He gets to pick the writers, the producers. He even has a say in the actors, they said, which that kind of makes me pretty happy, you know, because it's his show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show I would already tune into as well, you know. And he's also got familiarity with working in TV. He was on the writing staff for Lost. So, you know, he knows how it works. I'd really like to see a Why the Last Man show. Hopefully they do it justice.
Oddly, I would also like to see that, but I don't know why. I only read the first volume of Why the Last Man.
Yeah, you should probably read the whole series. I read the whole series in a week. I just couldn't put it down. I just kept reading it and reading it. Loved it. Loved it. Not much left. What else? Oh, remember we were talking about Vixen going back to CW?
Yep.
Remember we were talking about that Vixen animated series? Mm-hmm. And how I then said a little while ago that the actress was going to be in the live action show now. They're going to move her there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, now they've got pictures of her from Arrow and stuff. So she's going to premiere in that.
That's
She's
cool.
going to be an Arrow. Yeah. So they already had the whole one picture like her with like the spirit animal and whatnot. So, yeah, I should probably finish watching that animated series. I never went back to finishing it. I should probably do that before she shows up. So I kind of like how they've got the voice actress playing her. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. What else? Oh, it was just actually announced today. Marvel announced that they've cast Wong for Doctor Strange.
Cool.
And yes, he's going to be an Asian man.
How surprising.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are like, oh, are you going to do the stereotypical Wong for the Doctor and cast an Asian man? And guess what they did? And you know who they cast? Benedict Wong.
Who's
so
that?
Benedict Wong is playing Wong in Doctor Strange. He was in The Martian, and he was also in, did you watch, no, you didn't, Marco Polo?
I did. I watched a couple episodes of the first season.
Well, there's only one season right now.
Isn't there Marco Polo?
Season 2 starts this spring, this summer.
Are you sure?
On Netflix? I'm 100% positive.
I thought there was some, like, Asian spinoff version or something.
They had like another little half-hour special about one of the characters, 100 Eyes. Not for Netflix's Marco Polo, no. He plays 100
Eyes
Marco
is what I was
Polo,
talking about.
He plays Genghis Khan.
You're all broken up again.
No, 100 Eyes was the... he only had like a half-hour special.
Oh.
That was in December.
All I saw was that it came up as like a whole new...
Yeah, no, they're trying to just, you know, give it a little bit of so people don't forget about it. But the guy who plays Genghis Khan, Benedict Wong, is going to play Wong in Doctor Strange.
Oh, cool.
I think that's pretty cool. I can't wait for this movie. Can't wait. I hope we get a glimpse at during Captain America Civil War. What I hope. but last but not least is The Venture Brothers. You ever watch it?
Yeah, I love that show.
So do I. Can't wait. It's coming back end of January. the 30th or the 31st, I think. One of those days it comes back. But premieres at the end of the month, and they just released a new trailer for it. And I guess the whole gang moves to New York City. It's been far too long since we've had Venture Brothers on air. Ugh, I love that show. Can't wait. End of the month, which by the time this comes out, this weekend. Yeah, this weekend. Oh, that's awesome. With X-Files out now, and Black Sails Season 3 just started. So many good shows. Oh, and Lucifer.
Yeah, I can't wait for Lucifer to come on.
Which, by the time this is probably released, it'll be today. Or tomorrow. Or yesterday. Yeah. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. Good stuff on the air right now. Good stuff. Anywho, I think I'm done.
Done.
Finito. We are done. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget to subscribe. And if you already do, thank you. We appreciate it. If you like it, you know, leave some feedback on iTunes. We're always looking forward to it. I'd like to hear what people have to say. Drop us a note. Hit us up on Twitter. Before we go, though, let's just plug some of our sites. Our website, 8bitsoul.com. Check out our Destiny-centric site at destiny.8bitsoul.com. Posted a bunch of new stuff the past few weeks. We got something new again, just posted. You can find us on Twitter. Follow us there. Our Twitter handle is at 8bytes. That's 8bites. Our Destiny handle is at 8bytesdestiny. And mine is Juventus, Juventuz. And D's is at Marcione, MarchiOne. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and check out our YouTube page. And don't forget, iTunes and Stitcher, subscribe. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next time for episode 50. Say goodbye, D. No goodbye?
Fine. No, I'll say, that way. Fuck you. I'll say goodbye. But beforehand, anyone who's listening, basically, sorry, we know that there's some audio issues. I'm going to try to edit them out, but I'm sure some are still there. We will try to keep the quality up higher in the future. Bye.
Peace.
In my eyes, so you think you can love me and leave me to die? Oh, baby, as you said to me, baby, just gotta get out of here.
The hell is wrong with you people? You're a fucking savage for not liking that trailer.